Welcome, everybody, to episode 8 of the WP Mainline podcast for Thursday, August 19th, 2021. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James. I love you, Jacoby.
Hi, I love you too. Hello. Hi, everyone.
Starting to show off with a bit of positivity because we're going to dive right into the negativity.
Well, that's it, everyone. Have a good day. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we could wrap it up. Like a nice tight burrito. We could wrap this up right now. It'd probably still be filling.
No, I'm hungry. Now we should wrap it up. I vote wrap it up.
No. I am hungry though as well. Anyways, welcome everybody. We've got a lot to talk about this week. Let's start off with an interesting story that has made the rounds. There's a lot to get into. A lot of different aspects I've been thinking about revolving around this story, but it turns out that a fellow by the name of Joe Youngblood posted on Twitter that WordPress was claiming, he says in his tweet that WordPress is now claiming that the WordPress Foundation has demanded that developers stop allowing WP to be used in plugin names. And in his tweet, he published a screenshot from contacts he had with the plugin review team. And in that screenshot, it says, we know, and yet they reached out, they meaning the WordPress Foundation, and asked us to, for now, prohibit the use of WP in the plugin name. And then it says, we are sorry, but we were directly asked to block this, so here we are. So without additional context, and Joe Youngblood went on Twitter, and it basically looked as though somebody at the foundation or even Matt Mulloway himself requested to the plugin review team to add WP to the list of prohibited terms. And when Joe Youngblood submitted his plugin, which used WP, he received a rejection email that said it violated a trademark. So now you start piecing together. And there's a little bit of a lack of context here, but basically when he went on Twitter, it looked like Matt Mulloway of the WordPress Foundation was exercising their rights to block a trademark they did not own, which was WP. And we've known since 2010, if you visit the WordPress Foundation website under trademark policy, it clearly states that the use of WP is fine in your name, product, service, company, what have you. WP is fine. It's not a trademark term. In fact, the trademark's not even owned by anything dealing with WordPress, but there is trademarks of WP that's owned by various companies. Mm-hmm. Now, about 3 months ago, the change was made to the trademark checker. There's automatic, when a plugin is submitted to the WordPress plugin directory, there is a list of company names and certain abbreviations that are checked. That are known trademarks, and if your plugin is caught using one of those, you know, unknowingly or knowingly, it will be automatically rejected or at least held for manual review by the team. And so with just this information that was available at the time, and there was sort of a track ticket, but there wasn't really much info to go on. So what I did was I thought that it would be the right thing to do. I went into the WordPress.org Slack channel for the plugin review team. And I said, hey, is WP now a banned term because it's trademarked? And I gave it some time. I went to bed. I woke up the next day. Mika Epstein, who is one of the major plugin reviewers on the plugin review team, she responded to me, basically explained why that term is there and what's going on. It turns out that in the end, what this all turns out to be is a series. The way that the WordPress.org plugin review systems and email communications and things are set up is that you can receive an email informing you that your plugin was rejected for a certain thing, when really it everything's causing confusion right now. And John here actually chimed in the meta channel, which maybe that's the channel I should have went to. I thought plugin review channel was the right channel, but you went to the meta channel and you actually requested for additional context as to what was going on here, because, you know, from basically on the surface, you know, Joe Youngblood had a point. And it did look as though that WordPress Foundation or even Matt himself was exercising their rights to block WP as if they owned the trademark to it, which they don't, and was not the case. So kind of inform us what you brought up in the channel and maybe give us your take on the technical side of this, which, you know, looking at this whole thing is kind of like a perfect storm of yikes.
It is a perfect storm of yikes. And I found out about this from a retweet from Brad Williams, who I did follow because I wasn't following Joe Youngblood. So I read it and it was funny because I absolutely had to check myself also because...
Yeah, Mr. WP user avatar plugin, user profile.
Well, no. So here's what happened is I read Brad's tweet, which was not anything really, in my opinion, that was like designed to spread any FUD or anything. But it was, I read his tweet, I read Joe's tweet, and I was like, that is effing BS. Like that, there's no way that that, like there's no way that that is what's going on here. And so then I did some digging and I looked at, you know, all the meta code or the majority of the meta code that runs WordPress.org is public and is available for anyone to look at. So I went digging and found the ticket and found the related code changes that introduced the block on the WP prefix. And I was like, oh, no, this is real. Like, this is actually like what happened here? And so the ticket didn't really have a lot of information on it. And so then that's when I checked myself and was like, okay, like there is a lot here that we are filling in a lot of blanks. Like there is one email from a person who we don't know that isn't really saying anything about it being Automatic's trademark or the Foundation's trademark. It's just saying that for now it was blocked and we were asked to block it. Doesn't say by whom. It just says someone, right?
And on top of all this, it happened about 3 months ago. Three months ago is when I saw the change. So what does that mean? So what do people bring up? That things are hidden and things happen behind closed doors, and now we've got some mishaps going on here.
Right. And so I went in the meta channel, which I was, plugin reviews may have probably been better, but I went in meta because I knew that Mika had opened the ticket and had made the code change. And so looking back, I mean, I wasn't upset, but Mika responded to me very, very politely and very nicely, and we had a good conversation about it. But I was like, what in the world is this ticket issue? Like trying to be like, friendly and jovial, but also like, what is this? Like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. And because Mika's ticket basically said, like, had some conversations about some trademark clarification that we want to add. And so we're going to do it. And there was like, no. So I asked, like, she had asked, like, what would make this more clear? And so in my opinion, the things that would have been nice to have seen or that I were who asked for it and what was the problems? What were the problems that everyone is hoping to address? Like, is it literally just WP can't be used or is there more to this? And like, why?
And there was more to it. We just didn't know what the more was.
There was a ton more to it. And so, that was one of those situations where like, I have done it all the time. And I think I've tweeted and joked about it where like, when you're moving fast and you're trying to solve problems and you have the trust and the empowerment to make an issue, to commit to things, to close these issues, to resolve them, it sort of feels like the meme where Barack Obama is like awarding himself a medal where I feel like I can solve this problem and I'm trusted to solve this problem. And so I'm just going to. And so it's very easy to not think about like
the future version of someone else that finds this work that you did. And I do this to myself probably more often than I'd like to admit, on like code repos and places that don't have a ton of users or a lot of interaction, where I'm just a little bit vague about an issue. I'm a little bit vague with my commit message and I move on to the thing. And if you look at WordPress core commit messages from the early days, there were no tickets. Sometimes there were very vague commit messages. It was not unusual for that to happen in like, I would say, less active or like less mature code bases or repositories. And so I'm not faulting Mika for any of the things that you did, but the conversation was essentially filling in the gaps to say that the plugin review team has for a very long time, but a lot more recently, I don't want to say inundated, but like there are a lot more people are applying for plugins that will use a prefix as what would basically be like a slug attack, right? To say, instead of using WordPress, we'll just use WP, but then eventually we will go back and we will rename it to WordPress. Or instead of using WooCommerce, we will start with WO because WOO is restricted. And so we'll work around it with WO, and then we will later rename our thing to WooCommerce.
Because the problem is that the trademark checks happen on the initial plugin submission, yes, but nothing is checked after the fact. So what was happening was, plugin authors, like you just said, would use WP, and then at some point later they'd switch it to WordPress. Boom, now you got a trademark violation, but the check is not automated and it goes unseen until you get a communication from probably the WordPress Foundation or whoever's exercising the rights on the trademark, saying this is not okay, you got to check this. And it seems to be happening so frequently that they've now had to make this change to add WP as a prefix.
Yep. And so there were just a more and more individuals that were,
but the way it all comes across and how it's set up with the communication and the lack of context at the time, it looked like WP was magically now a trademark term that the foundation was exercising their rights on, which was not the case.
Well, it's funny, right? And this is where like there are two words that I have that I think of a lot, like every day, and it is speculation and conjecture. And so it's funny how quick that the human brain, mine included, is to start filling in gaps.
That's dangerous, man. I can tell you one thing in the WordPress community, it's dangerous to allow people to speculate when you don't have the context there and you fill in the blanks on your own. You get into a lot of trouble.
I was guilty of it when I saw Brad's tweet. I told you, man, I was like, what is this? And like instantly it was like, there's like, that can't be the case. Like it doesn't. And if it is, like, there's got to be more to this.
But based on everything you read and the information that was available at the time, it leaned towards what you were probably thinking, your initial reaction.
Well, if you look at, and this is one of those, it bugs me, right? Like, again, not trying to be critical or negative, but like Joe's original tweet just has, it doesn't show the thread of in his Gmail. It just shows one part of it. It's like the most incriminating message of a thread that we do not know how we got to that one point. And so it says, we know, and they reached out to us, or they reached out and asked us to, for now, prohibit the use in the plugins repo. And so you already said that earlier. And so we are sorry, but we were directly asked to block this. So here we are, sad face. Like, it, we don't know how we got there. We don't know what we that we're talking about here. There's a lot we don't know, but it doesn't look bad. It just is, it's a big deal that didn't have, that lacked a lot of background. It lacked a lot of the reasons why. And so in the conversation I had in the meta channel with Mika, she had outlined what the problem was that they, what they were hoping to solve with the tools that they had available to them at the time. And it was, it just made sense for them to block WP so that the NWO and a few others, there were a few others that were in there that got added. And so because it helped mitigate the number of folks that would go in after the fact, it headed off folks at the pass, right? Like they would try to get this plugin and it would just say no. And it was the system that they had at the time to help them moderate the number of plugins coming in that way. And so I was like, okay, well, that makes total sense. Like there probably are other approaches here. There may be other things that other people could do or other ways to solve this problem. But like, okay, so let's put some attention towards solving this problem better or a different way. And like, that's ultimately what the WordPress project is all about. It's what open source software is all about, right? So the one thing that we don't do, which is hard, especially in the world today, is to just like ask politely, like what is going on? Like just ask. Like there's no reason to be, there might be sometimes reason to be upset, but most of the time with stuff like this, I think a conversation should happen and is warranted.
I will say that this change went into effect about 3 months ago. There have been plugins that have been submitted since then using the WP prefix, but Mika explained that they've worked with those plugin authors and were able to work with them and explain to them why, what was going on and why it happens. It just so happens that Joe Youngblood was very upset and decided to go on Twitter and said, hey, this is what's going on. And this is what I've learned. And, you know, he could have just as easily contacted the WordPress Foundation through their contact form. He could have sent an email to plugins review team. He could have went on Slack and he could have did all the things that happened after the fact to get us to the point where Mika laid out a more detailed explanation in the track ticket, and which was later on in the day when all this news was happening. And then when you read her track ticket or the detailed explanation, you go, oh, okay, well, there's the blanks that were missing and this makes sense. And oh, look, it looks like it was just a total misunderstanding. And this is just a systems and processes issue and not really having anything to do with blocking WP or WP being a trademark.
Right. But also I will add on my next, I'll warn our listeners that the next 3 minutes are going to be me having a very deep John thought here.
I'm glad that you warned us.
Right. So skip forward like 3 minutes if you have to. So
put again, 2x speed.
Right. So I think that it is a very human problem again, that like us as like pack animals and creatures that we trust one another, like in by design, that like when someone that you are talking to like tells you that this is the way that it is not a normal reaction to say, okay, thank you, and then go look for your own information like from the source. I just think that like we're all grown up to like trust adults and trust our teachers, and questioning them is bad and wrong and you get in trouble for it. And that like if you're the independent and you're the lone wolf, that you're probably going to die in the forest and that you're going to bring the hawks and the bears over to the pack and everyone's going to die. Like I think that is just not normal in the world. When someone tells you like, I'm sorry, this is how it is, or I'm sorry, we're out of French fries, or I'm sorry, whatever, that like you trust that that's the case, like everywhere that you go all the time, and not just authority, but like your friends. If your friends tell you something, you trust that what they're telling you is correct. The folks listening to us listen to us because they trust us. And so we have
an obligation and a responsibility to like report what we know, like in an unbiased way and like as unbiased as we possibly can. And so like if we violate that trust, if people, if we're wrong and we don't redact it or correct it, then we're doing everyone a disservice and we're doing a bad job. And so I think that like, I don't fault Joe for trusting the response that he got from the plugin reviewer. And I don't fault folks that retweeted it or liked it or that replied to it. But for some reason, my like dumb squishy brain has to question it. Like I am skeptical that this is the truth. And I want to dig deeper and figure out what's going on and identify what it is that we can do to like rectify the situation. Like that is just how my squishy human brain is wired the majority of the time. And that like, for me, it gets me in trouble. And I understand that. And I take the ownership over the trouble that it gets me in, but it is not because I don't believe other people. It's because I like the reality of this didn't, it like my spidey sense tingles and says like, this cannot be the whole story here. And because I know how to ask the question and because I know the team and I feel like I know the folks involved, that it was just an easy ask. Like, let's drill deeper. Like, let's figure out what's going on here and find a way to like, to make this right. And so like, it just, I don't think that anyone behaved abnormally. But gosh, does it feel like we should be doing better, not just at like giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, because that's also sort of how you get scammed and taken advantage of. But that one, like when something seems like almost outlandishly wrong, that it probably is, or that there is a reason that it had to be this way temporarily. And then you'll figure out and work around it and fix the problem and move on.
Now, initially I was intrigued by this because I said, well, wait a minute, if they're doing this on the plugin directory, what stops them from, you know, how far are they willing to take this? Because there's been examples before where Matt or WordPress.org has been able to use their influence to control outside forces to a point. And I'm like, well, are they going to extend this to websites? You know, is WP Mainline now at risk? Is WP this now at risk? Even though the trademark policy says, you know, everything's fine and has been fine and you're allowed to do this. So it turns out that, you know, it's not really the case. You know, one of the unfortunate things about this, the fallout, is that because of what happened on Twitter and the conversations around that and what happened on Facebook, on Hacker News, on the subreddit, that what because of the blanks that we were in through the speculation that was going on, that Matt Mullenweg and even the foundation took a bad rap. It, you know, there were people saying, oh, look what Matt's doing. This is the guy is an a-hole and all this other stuff. Look what, come on, how can you do this? WP is the community's term. This is our word. We should be able to use this. What are you doing? What a cheap move. But you know, Matt probably has absolutely nothing to do with this.
Correct,
from what
right.
We found out. And there are people on there that are just that on Facebook and who have read this that just know the headlines, just know the stories. They haven't dug into the track ticket. They haven't dug into what's going on. And as far as they know, Matt's just stomping around using his power again to limit things or limit the use of WP when it's, you know, it's not the case at all. So, I mean, I feel for Matt and the foundation that when things like this happen, that, you know, something totally out of your control and you got people with negative connotation to it that, you know, turns out to it's not negative at all.
It is, like not too long ago, people would have just called these people haters and would have written them off. But like the world today, everyone sort of, we're all real quick to join some force against some other thing. And like,
yeah,
and like how, like, and I know how that happens because it like, it happens to me too. And it's like a muscle that I have to say like, no, don't
put the pitchfork down a little bit and try and reconsider. Like people, you used to get a lot of negative criticism about the way you ran the old stuff and the comments and the interactions, but that was you had reasons for that, and they were valid reasons, and it was and I get criticism all the time for speaking my mind and being outspoken and trying to stand up for what I think is right and trying to defend folks that I think maybe are getting treated unfairly, and that's just how it goes. It's part of sticking your neck out. It's part of making decisions and trying to get stuff done is going to be some of that negative criticism. But boy, do I wish that we would just all stop jumping to huge conclusions without any or enough of the data, like across the board on everything, and not just WordPress, but definitely WordPress. Like this was a mountain out of a molehill, like clearly. And now there are folks in the track ticket. Now there's lots of good discussion. Dion's got a plan. I had like loosely outlined some plans in the meta, some initial thoughts in the meta Slack channel of ways that this could get mitigated and improved. And Dion's got
some good ideas. We can all work together, sing some kumbaya. Now we can all go together on track and solve the problem.
Well, and I have a bunch of plugins, just like you said, with it's not just, I mean, WP Mainline, obviously, but Sandhills has WP Simple Pay. I have WP User Profiles and User Avatars. I have a bunch of plugins that I prefix with WP. Because back in the day, that was around the time when we had moved all of the BuddyPress plugins out of their own repos and into the main WordPress plugin repository. And same with BBPress. BBPress used to have its own plugin repository, but it didn't make sense for it to anymore when BBPress got turned into a plugin. Just prefix all of your BBPress plugins with BBP. Just prefix your BuddyPress plugins with BP. Prefix your WordPress plugins with WP. Like, it sounds redundant. But it made total sense to namespace plugins for things like that. Like a WooCommerce plugin, if I didn't know any better, I would think of prefixing it with WC. Like, why not? Or Paid Memberships Pro, PMP. Like, there are all these. It just, why not prefix Sugar Calendar SC? We do it all the time. And so it seems totally innocent and natural and normal as a thing you'd want to do. Like even a 30-second tangent, but it reminds me of, like, in our neighborhood, there is someone who's building a house. Their house is almost done. They're about to close on their house, and their builder brought in like one final dumpster that they're going to use for like all the random cleanup stuff. And so you pay as a homeowner, you pay for each of these dumpsters that get hauled off to the dump with all these building materials. And sometimes you pay by volume or weight. And if there's a TV or somebody, something in there, then you have to pay something different because they have to sort it and manage it differently. And so she had noticed that her dumpster had become like full of things that had nothing to do with her house. Like someone came and dropped a bunch of stuff off in her dumpster that was not hers. And I had like, and she wasn't mad about it. She had just noticed it and said like, hey, you know, like, if you guys are using the dumpster, just let me know, it's fine. But I didn't know that folks were going to use it. And I think that there's like something going on there. But my point is that, like, when people see a dumpster that is open, like, it's actually, and someone uses it, if someone puts a bunch, like, it's, I think that their mentality is genuinely like, I'm going to put my garbage where the garbage goes. It's not thinking like, I have no other place to put it, so I'm just going to dump it here. Or like, I'm not paying for my own garbage pickup, so I'm just going to use this other person to make them pay for it. Like, I don't think that that is the thought process. I think genuinely people don't want to litter. They don't want to, they don't have a way to get rid of this big garbage that they have. They see an open dumpster that does not have a lid on it, that doesn't say, don't put garbage in me. And they think like, oh, this is great as a solution to my problem, and I'm doing the right thing. And so they do it. They put their garbage in the right place. And so people prefixing their plugins with WP, people putting for WordPress or WordPress dash or whatever in their plugin name, I think these are mostly not intentional trademark violations. They are not people saying, this is the official WordPress plugin for this thing. It's just people naively, but trying to be clear that like this is a WordPress plugin that does something specifically in a WordPress kind of way.
Well, after they build the solution to where they could do trademark checks after the plugin is submitted to the directory, they'll probably be able to remove the WP prefix restriction, and it won't be an issue anymore. My thought process when I see an open dumpster is to light it on fire, point to it, and say, WP drama.
You know, somebody did that where we live. So they didn't yell WP drama, but they did light a dumpster on fire. Oh, like, well, crazy.
I am not surprised.
That was very funny. That was very fun.
As an aside to all of this, imagine spending 20 to 30 minutes a mountain out of a molehill. You know, that's us. That's the story.
It is us. Totally.
But as a bit of an aside, there's many asides, but one aside I wanted to cover was Francesca Morano. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She is she's a WordPress core team lead at Yoast, and she wrote a tweet saying, quote, I read core team and I go, who are they talking about? The reps, the lead developers, the committers, people with so many patches. So as one of the team representatives, I go and look at my DMs. I've got none. Then she goes on to talk about sort of the various ways of communication and whatnot, you know, and I responded, this has been a problem for years that I've noticed from others. I've been guilty of it a few times where people, when you say core team, it's usually an individual who has an opinion or said something, and somebody conflates their opinion or what they said or their statements with, that's what the entire team thinks. So that's what the entire team feels. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's unfair to the team to have one person's, you know, opinions or actions represent that of the entire team. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. You know, I used to get quotes. I used to ask automaticians, you know, through DMs or whatever, try and get their opinions on things. I used to be able to do that, but now I have to go through like press@automatic.com or something. Opinions have to get filtered. So no more direct interactions and direct quotes from automaticians. But if someone like from the plugin review team communicates with you, that's that individual. It's not the entire review team making that statement. It's that individual.
You know,
same thing with reps, same thing with core committers. You know,
I agree, but I also, and I know you know this too, that like their role is to represent the team.
Right. Okay.
So it is one person's interpretation of the role that they are playing at that time. Right. This is sort of more complicated than that, where like you as a homeowner are going to have and say things. You as a husband are going to have opinions and say things. As a podcast the host, as a website, as a WordPress user, like you have all these hats that you wear. And so this is just one person's interpretation of the where they're at the time. And so it's a combination of both things. And so that's where like we all do need to be cognizant of the job that we have or the role that we're in at the time, and do our best to represent the teams that we are a part of all of the time, because you never know when someone is reading what you say and thinking, well, the only, like, I can't believe that Jeff, the podcast host, would say all these bad things about peanut butter cookies or whatever, right? Like, I don't know. Like, it just, someone is going to read what you say and they're going to think or look at you differently because they're looking at you through a lens that is impossible for you to see back at them with. So it is both. It's not just that it's not just one person, but that person's got a job to do, and they also need to do it as good as they can. Like, I guess, like, I don't know that this is even it's not advice. It is more encouragement to say that, like, in the case of the WP prefix and the conversation that folks are having about it, that, like, the only thing they can do is explain that it's blocked. They don't necessarily have all the facts either. And because they weren't made necessarily super public, then it wasn't even part of the protocol or the policy of the team to explain to folks, here's why it's blocked, because exposing the reasons why it's blocked only helps the people that you're trying to prevent from abusing the system abuse the system better. So you can't even reveal the two people why it's blocked.
I didn't even know that. First, I knew that there was trademark checks on the initial plugin submission, but I didn't know it was such a problem. And I didn't even know that you were able to, or developers were able to change things after the fact so that they could violate the trademark. This was all news, and this was all learned from how this all transpired.
Well, that's why I think, like, with Matt Mullenweg and the audience that he has and the influence that he has, it becomes really important that the things that he says are almost always meaningful and positive, because the second that something can be misinterpreted to be negative, this is what happens. The reaction from the community is just a tornado of negativity.
There's so many people out there just pouncing and waiting for Matt to make a decision that's wrong or upsets the community or does something.
And like, we forget, it's easy to forget. And like, I'll be the first person to admit that, like, in any given day, I definitely get more wrong than I get right. Like, I make more mistakes than I get something right the first time. And so, like, the number of things that I tweet, when by the time that I have gotten to the point where I'm tweeting something, I'm either like not thinking clearly and like upset or being stupid about something, or it's something that's like so silly and stupid that I feel like can't be misinterpreted, that I'm like making a joke or doing something that I think makes me laugh that hopefully will make other people laugh.
Misinterpreted.
And it totally happens all the time. So I try to think of like, what are Buddy Press and BB Press users going to think about this dumb thing that I'm saying? Or like, what are Sand Hills customers thinking if they know that, like, this is how my brain works? Like, how are they going to think less of the company or the products or the projects because I'm just a normal ish person being silly on the internet sometimes? And like, would there be more value in John
putting a muzzle on
shutting up more often than not? Right. Like, probably the answer is yes. But how, I don't know.
Let's move on from this Mount WP.
Francesca is awesome. I just want to shout out Francesca.
Indeed she is. So you've been nominated to speak at WordCamp US. Congratulations. Guess what? I have too. Thanks. Big deal.
Congratulations to you too, Jeff.
Now there's no guarantee that you or I will be picked to present. I've kind of already put somebody emailed me and said, hey, what's your email address? Cause I'm going to nominate you. And I said, no, save it for somebody else. You know, I don't need to be nominated, but thank you very much for thinking of me. And you put the question out there on Twitter. You said, if you had to hear me and see me on your screen for about 40-ish minutes, how would you want that to go? And there was people that were chiming in, but I wanted to get your take on this idea.
Super good responses to that.
By Josh Strabel. And he says, I want to hear the insider's perspective. You are part of Core, have been for a long, long time, but you are also on the outside working at a shop building plugins. How are, if there are, the competing interest of all stakeholders balanced in terms of rulemaking, enforcement, and whatnot? Does the end user always win in every outcome? Is that even the goal? And he's gotten quite a few likes on that, and it sounds like a pretty good idea to me. And I wanted to, since I'm on the show, I can abuse my privilege and ask you, what do you think of his idea? Are you giving it some thought?
What's up, JJ Josh? That was a great question. And the, like, I thought about it quite a bit, and it got, like you said, some good attention. And so I don't know whether or not I would give that exact talk, but it is something I do think about a lot. And I don't want to ruin what my potential talk would be, but my tweet originally is like 40 minutes is a long time to not just listen to us go back and forth. At least there's two voices here, but for a remote talk that is pre-recorded, that could be as produced as someone wanted it to be, but like that's a Netflix special is 40 minutes. You're listening to like a whole television show of just one person talking to the camera. And so what is a way to make that engaging? And one of the things that was in the WordCamp, I don't know if you saw this, Jeff, but I'm assuming you did, is there's a disclaimer, sort of a heads up on the WordCamp talk submission.
Oh, sort of a theme. Yeah.
Yep. Not just the theme, but it basically tried to say or alluded to that like talks should be like timeless, like high quality, timeless talks about like these subjects and the things that are in them. And so it's not just like talking about hooks and filters or just talking about blocks and Gutenberg. Like I think the expectation here is that we're putting together like very well thought, very good, like 40 minute presentations that go deep into these topics.
And, no pressure, man.
No kidding. Right. So, Josh's tweet is awesome. It's a very good suggestion. And like in general, my thoughts and feelings on it are that like, I want the user to win every time. Like that is how my software brain works. It's like I that's the only reason any of this works, is that WordPress's users are users of each other's software and plugins and themes, the listeners of the show. This is all for you. This is for everyone. We are all users, and the users have to win or WordPress loses. And so that is my goal, but I don't know that it is always other people's goals.
Can I even listen to you for 40 straight minutes? The answer is yes, I can. Especially if you're sitting in a nice chair and you got a cup of hot cocoa by you and you're sitting in front of a fireplace.
Oh,
those are my favorite sessions you do.
Oh, those are good ones. I haven't done one of those in a while.
Some long johns on John.
I appreciate that Josh knows that like that is a part of the line that I have chosen to walk, is that like I really love the, like we talked about earlier, like the core team and contributing to all of the pieces that there are that intertwine and connect, not just with WordPress, but with WordPress.org and the BBs and plugins and themes. And like, but I also think that WordPress would definitely not be as strong on the web as it is if it was not for plugins and themes. And so they are one and the same to me. And so it is, I enjoy the opportunity that the community has, I think, it's sort of really bestowed upon me, and that I've sort of tried to step into and occupy to represent all sides and be as diplomatic as possible. And if I'm screwing up, I want to do better. So, you know, feedback is always welcome. But it's interesting. It's a lot.
Well, and, speaking of Matt Mulloway, he published a post on his site, which you can find at ma.tt. Still one of the very cool domain name. He was able to get that very easy to find now instead of Photomat. But his post titled Funding, Buyback, and Hiring. And in this post, he talks about the round of primary funding at Automatic went through $288 million earlier this year in February. And he talks about how it was a very busy time because they were working on some acquisitions with Parsley, parse.ly, okay, take on domains, Day One, Pocket Cast, and they just recently made a big investment into Titan for business email. And he goes on to say that more recently, they've taken an opportunity to do a $250 million share buyback at a $7.5 billion valuation that just closed last week. And he says that the buyback was primarily targeted at current and former employees. So the post goes on. He mentions a lot of, to me, is business gobbledygook with, you know, investors and shareholders and whatnot. But what I took away from this was that early Automatic employees, those who were there in the early stages, had the opportunity to sell their stock back to the company and probably give themselves a bit of a bonus. Mm-hmm. Is that, did you happen to read the post? Is it that, did I get that right? And by the way, you used to be an automatician, and I wanted to ask you, have you sold your stock or do you still have it? Or were you required to sell it when you left?
I think.
Or can you not answer any of those?
I think I can't answer any of those.
Oh, okay.
You are correct. And Matt has been very open, I think, about like this post was the first time that I've seen him be as open as he has been about how Automatic options worked and that they were even a thing and that people had them. Because I don't think that was ever hugely broadly advertised. And so it's good to see that level of transparency in this post. The valuation is bonkers. I mean, it's great. It's amazing. It's incredible, but is a bonkers number to think. And so
I asked people on Twitter, said, if Automatic goes public, would you invest? And by and large, the majority of people said, oh, hell yeah. You know, that'd be a sound investment. Mm-hmm. I'd invest, but I don't have enough money to pay the bill. So how am I going to give Automatic some of my money?
I mean, that was back when I don't think that this is going to break any rules, but back when I was employed at Automatic, there was a third party, I guess, a service. I will just call it a service that was called Second Market that I think NASDAQ actually bought. And so that was where the options sort of brokering, I guess, used to happen. And the Second Market doesn't exist anymore. So I'm not even sure how.
And when we're talking about your tenure at Automatic, well, was it 2011 or so? How long ago?
2008, 2009, 2010. Somewhere around there, I guess.
Well, more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, a lot has changed since then.
Yeah. Yep. And so for their options period back then, I was vested. And so the early employees, I think, like he said here, they were invited into having some options. And it was, boy, do I wish that everyone had more of them, looking at a number like $7.5 billion. And I think like the way that Matt put it is very accurate, that selling a bit of their equity holdings could have a significant impact on their lives. Like, that is the hidden gem of a quote in that. Because in any of the other posts that Matt has mentioned about Automatic and shares and equity, I don't know or remember if he's posted what the original valuations were or how many stocks were issued or how many that he has or that were sold off or invested in or issued to other investors. And so the if I add emphasis to this, given the valuation, then selling a bit of their equity holdings could have a significant impact on their lives, which means not selling all of them, but selling a bit of them at this number could easily could change folks' the trajectory of their financial futures pretty significantly. So it's like kudos to and like hats off to all of my ex-comrades and friends at Automatic that have stayed and worked diligently and have been loyal, passionate employees that have stuck through this. Because this was, I mean, one of the things that I always wanted when I worked at Automatic was an increasing number of options, because I believed that Automatic was a company that had enormous potential, and Matt's vision is very vivid and very determined. And so
do you think the company will ever go public?
I don't think it'll go public the way that other companies go public. Okay. But I think that it will, but I don't think Automatic is the kind of company, and I guess I don't know anymore, but I don't imagine that speculating completely that our friends and ex-boss Matt is the type of person who would go public the way that Robin Hood the company goes public, or that, you know, Tesla goes public, or 23andMe goes public, or whatever. Like, Automatic has different goals and different trajectory that does not really fit in the normal IPO world. And so if it happens, I don't think it will happen in the way that it that everyone would just expect for it to happen or go.
And by the way, for listeners out there, if you want to actually get a hint of what it was like working at Automatic at the time John was there, you should get the book and read A Year Without Pants by Scott Berkin. Great book.
Definitely.
It's a great book. A great book, because it's like just a sliver of time that Scott documented of what it was like to work at Automatic when they were just really starting to have these different teams of individuals within the company. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time when Jetpack was kind of getting off the ground as well, I believe.
It was, yeah. That was an interesting time in that book. I mean, it's not on our agenda here to talk about it, but yeah, that was a funny thing about that book is that I was always a little, had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder for largely being omitted from that book. I think it, like, the timing of it and where Scott was in his writing process was, he was kind of done by the time that I was on his team at that point. And so he was largely focusing more on the book than on and Jetpack. And then it was weird. I had a weird, unique intersection of time with Scott Berkin, where I feel like he didn't get to see the best of me, and I feel like maybe I didn't get to see the best of him, but still we had a lot of good memories and good trips and a lot of fun going to places and doing cool stuff. But I feel like we didn't get to hang out the right way. But the book was great. I think I have two copies of it, just in case. But
and then Matt went on to finish his post by mentioning that they've significantly scaled up their ability to find and hire great folks. Up until this point, there have been 371 accepted offers already in 2021. But he says, with the growth of WooCommerce hiring ahead of payments and their enterprise business, WP VIP in particular, they need to move faster to keep up with the opportunity. So he says, for him and many other of the most tenured automaticians within the company, hiring is the top priority. So to that end, he's looking for someone to partner with and their top executive group, which they call Bridge, I suppose, mm-hmm. within the company, in creative talent development, which is an executive recruiter to help craft the highest performing teams of executives for each of our businesses. And he says that They have a multi-decade opportunity ahead of them to create the best solutions for the open web platform of WordPress, and WooCommerce is doing the same thing for commerce. So that's, man.
So the creative talent development role, since you brought it up, is like kind of the coolest job I think I've seen automatic publicly like advertised that they're looking for people for. Like I read it and I was like, man, it sounds like a lot of work. And it sounds like it's like the job itself is probably extremely difficult, but like you kind of just get to live at the intersection of all of like the top talent that cares about working on solving these kinds of problems. And then they have automatic at the bottom of that job description. They have their about automatic section, but, and maybe this has been there for a while, but this job posting was the first time that I had read it, where automatic as a company in their own sort of autobiography says, we democratize publishing and commerce so anyone with a story can tell it and anyone with a product can sell it, regardless of income, gender, politics, language, or country. And I was like, man, is that good? That's good. It rhymes and it's like fully immersed in like WordPress culture stuff. Like, man, it is great. So I wanted to bring that up because it was, I thought it was just incredible. Whoever wrote it, super good.
Now, I was going to mention that the one constant for automatic over these God knows how many years is hiring. They're always hiring more and more and more and more. They need more people. Mm-hmm. And now with 300 people this year, they're probably well on their way to 2,000 employees.
It's nuts. That's
and when crazy. You were there, there was less than 100. I think there was less than 70.
There was less than 70.
Somewhere around the 50s, I believe, is when.
I think so.
55 or so.
53 or 4 or 5. Yeah,
so there you have it. So automatic's hiring. By the way, if anybody out there needs a job, work for a cool company, automatic.
Speaking of segues, who else is hiring, Jeff? A Big Orange Heart.
Oh, yes, yes. A Big Orange Heart. Well, they're kind of hiring. They're kind of looking for people to the Big Orange Heart Foundation. They're currently seeking artists and writers for a new project they're working on that's aimed at creating a meditation and coloring book. And oh, sorry. I had a cough there. Actually, I couldn't use the cough button. in an article published in 2020, the Cleveland Clinic listed three ways in which adult coloring can relax your brain. And I thought that was a great article because not only have I personally have seen the effects of what coloring can do to calm someone down with anxiety, but I learned that that word searches, I actually use word searches to, and I learned that the reason why word searches and coloring works is that it takes your mind and focuses it on that simple activity. It doesn't require a lot of brain power. And by doing that and losing self-awareness, it allows you to calm down, lowers your anxiety. And I'm like, oh man, it's like the first time I realized why word searches work and why when I'm going through a troubling time that I try and occupy my mind with like, I'll load up a YouTube video that I like, or I'll start doing some word search on my phone. And what happens is that as my mind focuses on those tasks or on the YouTube video, my body will naturally return back to like a normal state of being, instead of being self-aware of like my heart rate and all that other stuff, which could trigger the anxiety to get worse. So this book that they're working on, it's a coloring meditation book where you can write, if you write articles about, relaxation, peace, serenity, they're looking for those. It's going to be an 8.5 by 11 inch book. Meditations or essays should be 300 words or less. I was thinking that it'd be cool if somebody donated, it's not going to be WordPress specific, but outlines of Wapoos would be like perfect for this.
That would be good. You
know, start coloring in some Wapoos.
That's a good idea.
The deadline for final submissions is September 15th, 2021. If you're, of course, links to this will be in the show notes, but you can also check out bigorangeheart.org to find out more information. That's just an awesome organization, by the way, awesome. By Dan Mabey and a bunch of other folks. And they also put together WordFest Live, which was a very cool event that recently took place. So the last thing I wanted to bring up, as we're running a bit long in the tooth here, but I don't think anybody cares. I think people just love, could listen to us drone on for years about WordPress stuff, or maybe not WordPress stuff. But I wanted to mention, I spent some time the other day, and now you can find and subscribe to the WP Mainline Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Overcast, and I think that's it. There might be a few others. So if, Spotify, you can also find it on Spotify if that's your, that's where you like to listen to audio. So I fixed the distribution channels for the show, and you'll be able to find it there and listen, subscribe on your favorite app or whatnot.
How was that process of doing all that, setting all that up?
You know, it's, some of them was easy. Some of them was weird. Some of them I had to have. Actually, most of them I already had an account with because of WP Weekly. so that was good. But yeah, you know, most of the process was pretty easy. Castos that I use, the service I use to host the WP Mainline Podcast, they actually have two buttons or two ways to where you can subscribe or submit to Amazon Music and Spotify. And that made the process super easy for those two services. Cool. But for everything else, I had to do like a button or put in my feed. I had to find it. And then, you know, it takes a while for it to get approved, or I would have to create an account for a content creator network on some of these sites. But I did it. I worked through it all. I did it for you all out there, the listeners. So now, you know,
we do have the best listeners. They deserve it.
Absolutely. So that does it for me, and that does it for, I'm so glad we got to cover that. You know, that first story we talked about earlier in the show, that's the reason why I enjoy having a podcast like this, to kind of go over things in depth and to talk about it, because I think words just don't do it justice. Responding to people on Twitter and in their Twitter threads about it just doesn't do it justice. But being able to say what's on my mind and explain my perspective and where I'm coming from and why things were written the way they were written and the situation and whatnot, I think it's so nice to be able to talk about it instead of write about it.
And I want to, I'll shout out to Mika again and Francesca and JJ Josh for letting us, hopefully their ears are ringing a little bit, for letting us highlight their roles in the community and talk about some of the stuff that they brought up. And yeah, I agree. It's good to talk about these kind of things and get it all out there.
So that's going to do it for this episode of the WP Mainline Podcast. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPMainline.com. Just click the podcast link, and if you want, click the subscribe link and then like go through the process and, you know, give me some money. That's my call to action. There's no X on this. You can't close this out. I'm in your ears. Give me your money. But no, I'd really appreciate it if you enjoy this content and like what I do on WP Mainline. I'd very much appreciate it if you subscribed to the site. That would be awesome. John, where can people keep tabs on you and your eventual, you know, whenever you get around to it, battling Gutenberg and publishing a post on your site?
Definitely. jjj.blog. Or GitHub and Twitter at JJJ.
Awesome. So everybody, that's going to do it. We're going to wrap it up. Everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week. So long, everybody.
Bye.